Amen. Amen. Good morning. Everybody all right? A handful of you have learned over the years. Thank you. You're a gift. And so we continue on with our series today. This is the Restore DNA sermon series, but this is our, the reason why I'm doing this is I've kind of boiled down our entire existence and what's really important to us. There's a few other things that are meandering that go along with these, but these are the eight top things that we believe identify us as a ministry and what we want to identify us as a ministry more and more going forward. And so this is week three, but a couple weeks ago we talked about we're all about Jesus. Everybody say we're all about Jesus. Now, anyone can say they're all about Jesus. It's a lifestyle to actually be all about Jesus. Amen? So our heart's desire is, if there's any question that you get from coming down here, I hope the one thing that gets answered when you step into the place is, those people are whack, they don't like the preacher, the music's weird, they love Jesus. I'm never going back, but they love Jesus. Amen? Whatever you come to with your heart, that's fine. But man, we love Jesus because Jesus is the catalyst for all of this for us. Amen? And so we have a passion for God's Word. We talked about last week, like it's not just some book, it's the breathing, living, and active Word of God. Amen? And we unapologetically preach from it. Does everybody agree with it? Yeah. No. Does everybody agree with us preaching the word unapologetically? Yeah. No, they don't. They don't agree. We agree. That I should have forwarded my question correctly. And so this week we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and then we're going to talk about worship and prayer, discipleship, restoration, and multiplying. And so that is where we are as we line up for this week. And so this week we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, if you were here a couple years ago, you know that I took 6 months to preach about the Holy Spirit. So you're probably all Holy Spirited out. And I say if you're Holy Spirited out, you're whack. That's not right, Pastor Talk. The Scripture says this in Acts 2:38. This is a key for us and a catalyst. And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And so that word, gift, to me is the answer to what I was talking about earlier. What does it mean? How is it a gift to us? And today I just want to line out all of the stuff that has to do with the Holy Spirit in the Scripture. So we'll be here for about 3.5 hours. Is that okay? And so I love you four of you that are always saying that. The rest of these new people are already out the door. Here's what I see when I read the Scriptures. So like, God is supernatural. Right? When I say supernatural, what does supernatural mean? He is beyond comprehension. What he does and what he is something beyond us. Right? Like, have you ever been in the presence of something supernatural? Like, what was your reaction to that? Oh. Right? Like my hair. You're like, dang, that's good hair. No, but something really supernatural. How many of you like really experienced the presence of God and you were like humbled and quieted and shut up and in awe? Right, like you sit in at the base of the Rockies and just think that the hand of God that created that, like everybody, nobody goes to the Rockies and goes, unless you live there, right? And then you get annoyed by all of us flatlanders coming out and jacking with your stuff, right? But there's these beautiful mountains, and you sit there, and you know that if you're a follower of God, of God, like, man, something supernatural made this thing. When you look into the heavens, you see supernatural things. When you look at creation was supernatural, right? God spoke you into existence. That's pretty supernatural, right? When you look at the Old Testament, things like pillars of fire, water turning into blood, right? Don't mind my sound effects. I'm like a one-man soundtrack thing. What else is supernatural? Elijah being taken up in a chariot of fire, racing off into the sky. He doesn't die. He goes to be with the Lord, right? Over and over and over again, there are supernatural things happening in the Old Testament. And then you look, Jesus being on earth, the Messiah, it is beyond comprehension. It's supernatural, right? Like he's here, he's being baptized. God, if you understand the story, God stepped down out of heaven, was put in flesh in a baby, right? He was begotten, it came out of a woman. God came out of something he created, was born, walked the earth, lived life, did ministry, worked miracles. He would just say to the storm, "Stop it!" And the storm would stop. He would talk to a demon, "Stop, get away, get out, run into those pigs." They would beg him to put them in pigs and they would run off of a cliff. That is supernatural. Like that's just beyond us, right? As we keep going, the New Testament church and the New Testament, good stories and and difficult stories. Ananias, you know, Acts chapter 5, they lie about how much money they got from selling their property. This dude and his wife lie, and they get called in. He's like, why did you lie to the Holy Spirit? All of a sudden, boom, he drops dead. Supernatural. That's one of them supernaturals you don't want to run into, right? His wife walks in, same thing, boom, dead. Everybody say dead. Dead. Right. And so all throughout, and then Peter preaches this sermon, and 3,000 people come to the Lord, and people, his apostles touch the dead, and they rise. Little boys who are thrown into the fire, Jesus rescues, and over again, all throughout the scripture. And then you look at Revelation, the end of the season, this end age, when it comes to an end, the Lord comes back on the sky, word of God tattooed on his leg, robe dipped in blood, on a horse, a sword, and he comes back. It's supernatural. When you come into the things of God, in the presence of God, always, it's always supernatural. Our eternity. Imagine eternity for a minute. Our eternity is going to be us stepping into the permanent residence of supernatural. What is it going to be like to live in a place where there's no more sorrow? No more pain. No more cancer. No more jacked up kids, right? No more crime. No more death. No more this life matter, that lives matter. No, only saved lives will matter at that point. Amen? All of those things will be in one place, in one time, and the entire, your rest of your eternity, the billion, trillion, what's the number of eternity? Anybody got that? 1.4 pi squared, niner? Affinity, whatever. Three, that was clever. and here's the thing, if everything in the scriptures and about God is supernatural, then God's people and God's church should be nothing but supernatural. You hear what I'm saying? We should be supernatural people of God. That is our very topic today. And as I've traveled overseas, and you know, we've been in mission, and there's, God is doing something supernatural. You hear stories of like demonic, honestly, like fist fights in Africa where the devil's like coming against missionaries and the Holy Spirit shows up and crazy stuff, and people in Fiji dropping their idols after hundreds and thousands of years of idol worship, and the Lord just shows up and waves come, and Holy Spirit after Holy Spirit. We saw 200 people come to Jesus, Muslims, this summer, who have been in Muslim lifestyles their entire existence, and now they know Jesus and they follow Jesus, right? I mean, open countries, that, you know, the news keeps saying all these countries are closed. There ain't nothing closed to the Lord. Shut your mouth. Amen? There ain't nothing closed to the Lord. God is moving all over the place. And then My deepest prayer for when I come here is a lot of things. We want to be disciplers, and we want to see people restored, and we want to do all these things. But it all boils down to this. How supernatural are we? This is why when we talk about when we have a worship service, when we're in here singing songs, my deepest desire isn't that that we have the best band in the world. I like our band, right? They play a decent tune here and then, right? The bass players, attractive man, whatever. But I don't want to entertain a single person, not because I'm just prideful and stubborn and kick against modern trendy church planting stuff, which I do, but that's just because I'm a prideful jerkwad. The bigger point is I want people to experience the holy presence of God when they step in here. I guarantee you, you can have 3,000 people entertained by the screens and the stuff, and they will come and come and come possibly, but is there true things in their heart when they come down and they come in a worship service and somebody gets healed? And God shows up and convicts broken men, and you're sitting next to gangsters and stuff like we saw last week that testified up here on the pulpit last week about how life, God saved them from drug cartels who murdered their families. That is supernatural. That is the things that you look at where you go, what? That's the thing. Everybody say what? That is the presence of God, and don't you know that this is what should be true about me, and this is what should be true about you, is there should be such a stank of supernatural on your life that people look at you, and they might not like you, they might not even want to be around you, but when they experience you and this church and any church following after that, they go, man, there's something about that person that I can't put my finger on. Amen? And that's why we're talking about the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is important, right? Moderately important. He's pretty important at Christmas time. And we've talked about this before. How many of you would know a single thing about Jesus, your Savior, without the Holy Spirit? How many of you would know anything about God's goodness without the Holy Spirit? How many of you would know that there's eternal reward in heaven coming without God's revelation through His Holy Spirit? See, my thing to you is, God's church without an understanding of who the Holy Spirit is and what He's doing is a dead one. Is a dead one. I heard a pastor once say, kind of a jerky statement, but he said, in a lot of our churches, in American churches, if the Holy Spirit pulled out today, most people wouldn't know for 6 months. And so my job in this is not to talk about them. My job in this is to talk about us. Let me tell you this. Single most important thing I can ever tell you as your pastor. You filled with the Holy Spirit of God is the catalyst changing life event of your existence. You need to know Him. You need to know what He does. You need to know how He works. You need to know His purposes. You need to know what He's doing inside of you. Because I believe, and Paul ran across this in the New Testament. He ran into some believers that hadn't received the Holy Spirit. They heard about Jesus, and he prays over them, and they receive the Holy Spirit, and their whole lives change, right? I believe there's a lot of believers who know Jesus, but they don't have an understanding of what it is to be filled with the power and the presence in the Spirit of God. Because we get in these arguments. If I start talking about Holy Spirit, I don't know where you're from. Some of you, my Pentecostals, are like, what is your thinking problem? You need to beef this up, Pastor. And then my conservatives, they're doing this. I call it inverted sphincter syndrome. Things are tightening and you're getting nervous right now about whatever I'm talking about because you think I'm going to bust out in something unholy and ungodly. But man, I've got to tell you what. There is over abuse of the power of the Holy Spirit of things He doesn't do that people have made Him seem like He does in a world of emotionalism. And there's also abuse, almost worse, in my humble opinion, of people who neglect Him and don't know what He does. So when you walk down here, or in the middle of the night when the Lord speaks to your heart, or when something happens in your kids and they break open and they worship Jesus, or you feel that presence of God pull up in you, that is the Holy Spirit of God working in your life. The bigger question for us as a church is, how aware of Him are we? And how open are we to Him? So as we walk through this little study today, and the reason why it's in our DNA is like we can do all these things, but if we don't follow and run after the Holy Spirit of God as a church, we're going to be missing the power. Amen? Everybody bored yet? Good. Here's the boom for today. I ask those questions. I don't care if you're bored. I get paid one way or the other, right? So here's the boom for today. It's just simple, and I kind of battle with some of my booms. Can I say that? I battle my boom? I battle with some of my booms. The boom, by the way, if you're new, is just the point I want you to get today. I just left it as simple as I could. This is a proclamation statement. We live our lives by the leading of the Holy Spirit. We live our lives by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let's go to the Word and just see what the Scriptures say. And by the way, this is not an exhaustive list of the Holy Spirit. I already have way too many points. Yeah, just forgive me. So let's move into this. So number one, let's talk about the Holy Spirit a little bit. And this is just one. Number one, say this, He is God. The Holy Spirit, there are some beliefs out there that the Holy Spirit is a manifestation of God, and that there's oneness, there's all these kind of things. So people believe that at one point, God was God the Father, and then He stopped being God the Father, and He became God the Son, and then He stopped becoming God the Son, and then He became God the Holy Spirit, and that's how He's working for the rest of the days in existence. And the only problem with that is the Bible. It's the only problem with that is that over and again, if you walk through the Scriptures, and we're not going to tear into years of that today, but the Holy Spirit is a part of God's Trinity. He is three in one. One God, three different persons. You got to get your mind around that. The Scripture calls them persons. There's God the Father, there's God the Son, and there's God the Holy Spirit. And we know that all three of them exist at once in the verse we talk about a lot and many other places. Read the John teens, 14, 15, 16, and look at the grandness of the Holy Spirit and who He is. But Matthew 3, 16 through 17, and Jesus was baptized. Immediately He went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to Him. And then He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove coming down to rest on Him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, of whom I am well pleased." Jesus being baptized. Who's Jesus? God. Jesus is? Yeah, just follow me here. He's Jesus, Son of God. You're right. Then the Father speaking from heaven is? The Holy Spirit ascending like a dove is? So in either, the Lord took some massive, what are those called? I almost said transquiloquists. ventriloquist class, I don't sleep a lot. Either the Lord is a major ventriloquist. You know what I'm trying to say. Let me say this again. Scratch that. Either the Lord can throw his voice really well. or God was in one place, three persons. And so everybody say the Holy Spirit is God. And so the second one is and we're gonna come back to that in a minute, but why is it important for you as the church to know that the Holy Spirit is God? If you are committed to God the Father, this idea of this Father in heaven, and you're committed to God as Jesus Christ, his Son, who the Scripture says is at his right hand, that's where Jesus is. Where's Jesus right now? Jesus is in heaven at the Lord's right hand preparing a place for us. And so there is this far off thing. Then no wonder most people think that God is far off in the sky and God isn't present with us. The only problem with that is throughout the Scriptures that God promises his presence and the Lord is actually here right now. The God of heaven is in this room. We're going to talk about that. And you have to understand that the Holy Spirit is God because you're neglecting the personality of God and who he is through his Spirit if you're only looking at two and not understanding the third. Amen? Here's the next one. The Holy Spirit, Spirit's presence in our life was promised from God. You understand what I'm saying? So in Acts 2, Peter gets up and he roars out this amazing sermon. Pentecost falls, Holy Spirit comes, and Peter just rolls out this text. And he said, but this is what, in Acts 2, 16 through 18, this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. So this comes from Joel 2, which was a little bit before this day. Amen? Sorry. In the last days, it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. So the Holy Spirit coming in Pentecost was a fulfillment of God's promise to his people, that God's people, his sons and daughters, even the servants, will be able to prophesy and be supernaturally filled, which, by the way, if you think in the Old Testament context, is amazing, because servants were dogs, right? Women were dogs, right? Men were men, and priests were the Almighties. But now, they were the ones with the connection to the Lord. Now, all of a sudden, God's going to breathe out his Spirit on his people, and even servants will be filled with the Spirit and prophesy. Amen? Here's the next part. The Holy Spirit is a person. Everybody say person. So look at some of these characteristics and tell me if these sound like a person. Romans 8:27 says, he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. This just says the Holy Spirit has a mind. Everybody say mind. Here's another one. The Holy Spirit has a will. 1 Corinthians 12:11. All these are empowered by the one and the same Spirit who apportions to each person individually as he wills it. So the Holy Spirit, Scripture says, he gives people gifts, right? And guess what he gives them gifts according to? His will. Something about you, the Holy Spirit looks at you. I don't know the process. I don't know if he has a dartboard. I don't know what he's doing, right? But the Lord identifies and sees you, and according to his will, the Holy Spirit, it doesn't say God the Father. It doesn't say God through Jesus Christ. It says the Holy Spirit gives you gifting according to his will. So he wills you to have what you have. Got you? He grieves. How many of you know the Holy Spirit grieves? Amen? Ephesians 4:30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And by the way, that's my biggest argument, is that you can't, there's nothing you can do in your faith to grow your faith, but one thing you can do is sure slow it down by grieving the Holy Spirit of God. And what does it mean to grieve him? So he grieves. And so the word grieve is an emotional reaction to something, a negative reaction. It's brokenness. Something saddens him in our lives. It's grief. The Holy Spirit grieves when we quench him. How do we quench the Holy Spirit? Not obeying? Amen. We'll talk about that too in a minute, you lucky people. Here's another one. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. Now, many of you will say, man, we've talked about that verse so many times in here. I got it. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. Some of you grew up with that. But let me ask you a question. Does your mind follow what you believe. Because here's the truth. God is with us. Not even just here in the chair. I don't know if the Holy Spirit, God's omnipresent. Maybe God's here in the chair. But Scripture says that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And so if we go back to what we just said, the Holy Spirit, who is God, who is a person, lives inside of you. You are the dwelling place of the Spirit of God, the Scriptures say. You are the temple. He lives inside of you. And so for you to know it is one thing. For you to receive it and live by it, what does it mean that you are the house of God? It means you're significant. It means, think about it, if God was going to dwell inside of you, this is why the cross was so necessary, because we were full of sin and brokenness and cancer, and the Holy Spirit can only come inside of us if we're cleansed, and we're only cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Aiden, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Jason, the Holy Spirit. Dustin, the Holy Spirit of God, God Himself lives inside of you. That is something you need to move past your brain and into your heart, because it means you are so much more significant than how you feel. Well, I don't feel significant. I don't feel like the house of God. Welcome to the curse. Welcome to humanity. You have got to come into a place where you have got to get into, remember we talked about the duty pile fight in your head? Does everybody have their baloney or dookie pile, or you can call it whatever you want if you're unholy in your head? That's your deal. God still hears it, right? So you got to have your dookie pile in your head. So what do I do with when dookie comes and, man, you're just a stupid fat guy. You're just an addict. You're just a bad dad. You're just a drug addict. You're just a blah, 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 blah. And all these things come roaming in. You have either got to step into, you're not like praying to the God of heaven, hey, God, help me, I'm having a hard day. You are talking to what is inside of you. Help me. Identify who I am. Read the word. Let God illuminate it. I am the dwelling place of God. I am not a punk. I'm not a loser. I'm not what my mistakes are. Amen. I'm not just some single woman. I'm not just some divorcee. I'm not just some person with a busted body. I'm not just someone mentally ill. I'm not just somebody who's lonely or just a soccer mom. None of that is the identification of the Holy God. Matter of fact, He thinks so much of you in His presence that He dwells inside of you. Think about the holy presence. The God who created quasars and nucleus lives inside of you. You're significant. Look at your neighbor and say, you're significant. Here's another one that's important for me. The Holy Spirit fulfills God's promise to never forsake His own. How many of you feel lonely? Come on. None of you? I'm married and a pastor of a church, and I spend most of my days feeling incredibly lonely. Nobody else? John 14, 15 through 21. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever. Everybody say forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. And Jesus says this in verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. So Jesus is preparing them for His death. Jesus is saying, listen, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to be with you, which is going to be really hard to see once they see Him slaughtered on a cross and His body buried in a tomb. And it's going to be really hard to see even after He arises from heaven. He raises again, but then later, 40 days later, He ascends in the heaven. They would feel lonely. So what does He mean, I'll never leave you nor forsake you? What He is saying is in the rest of this text, He said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you in a little while. The world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. In that day, you know that I will be in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them, he is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. A couple things in here. Number one, He says something in the beginning. He says, the world cannot receive Him. Let me say something clear. If we as the church, a couple things, continue to be offended that the world acts like the world and we judge them for it, there's an issue. Because the Scriptures are clear. That Scripture just said that they cannot receive Him. And the Holy Spirit is the illumination of all things that God is and what He does. He is the presence of God on the earth. So if we expect people who don't have God's holy presence in them, then we are expecting them to do something supernatural when they're only operating in the natural, and they're going to stay in the natural until they receive the living God. Amen? And so it makes it easier for me to forgive people that I can't stand. Can I say that again? People who act like knuckleheads. Why does my neighbor act like such a... Well, he's not full of God's holy presence. And the other side of that is, number two is, you are chosen to be God's holy place. This is God's promise, not only to his apostles, to the disciples, that I'm never going to leave you, even though he was physically leaving. He's saying, I am sending my Holy Spirit to you. You will never be alone. You'll never be an orphan. You'll never be by yourself. I'll always be with you. And this is the beautiful thing, whether you like it or not. In those nights when you don't want him with you, he's there. On those nights when you feel lonely, like he's not with you, he is absolutely there. You can't shake him, right? Like you need some kryptonite or something, some Holy Spirit kryptonite, because you're going to go out and sin. I'm putting on this panther stuff. You won't stick. I got a half an hour to go sin. He's with you everywhere you go. But this is the thing. Is like, you know what a good father does? A good father doesn't leave his kids. I'm going through counseling this last couple weeks, and I have some major, major, major childhood abandonment issues. Anybody in the house with me? Yeah, where's my abandonites? That's what I'm going to call us. We're like a tribe in Israel, the abandonites, right? So we have childhood abandonment issues, and I'm coming to this. I keep coming back through all this stuff, and all my issues, even with people that are here, come back to this one broken, abandoned little boy who was just completely left alone. That's who I am. I'm an insecure, broken, abandoned, power-grabbing little boy because my world's in chaos. That's who I am in my core, if I didn't follow my earlier sermon note. The cool thing is, even though my family left me alone to fend for myself when I'm 7, Heavenly Father's always been watching me. Like he's always, some of you with wayward children, you know what? The Lord is with them. The Lord is watching over. The Lord is everywhere. Amen? So it is our promise that he doesn't forget about us. Here's another one. The Holy Spirit is proof that you are saved and a guarantee of your inheritance. Ephesians 1, 13 through 14. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So two things important for me there. Number one, and I've talked about this again before at great length, so I'm not going to beat it to death today, but you need to really understand this. Number one, if you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, you're sealed by the living God. Like when you seal something, when a king would seal with a signet ring and he would place his mark in this piece of wax, he would seal something and people knew that you don't touch that, you don't mess with that, you don't do anything with that, but that because that belongs to the king. The scriptures just said it's in the same language in the New Testament. The same language is you have been sealed by the signet of the living God that you are his. And so if you have the Holy Spirit in you, not only is it the power of God in you, working you, bringing salvation, faith, all these things, but it's also God's seal on your booty that you are saved and redeemed in his. Every time you walk through, when the devil wants to come and break you or do something to you, he has to be reminded that your seal, his seal is on you. That's mine. Think about your kids when you go running through them in the store. Where is my son? Where is my kid? Not Frank or Joe. You're looking for your child. Now you are sealed with God's signet ring. And it's also a promise of your inheritance that comes. So if you live by the Holy Spirit, sometimes that means you're convicted. And I always say this, it's not the only show of the presence of the Holy Spirit that you're convicted. Some people, if you feel bad, that means God's living in you. Some of you just feel bad without the Holy Spirit. Amen? You just beat yourself up. That's natural. But when God's presence is moving, how many of you have ever felt God move or do something in your heart at any point in time in your life? How many of you knew that was the Holy Spirit? Guess what? You are signed, sealed, and delivered by the living God. Amen? Somebody should be happy about that. Here's another one. The Holy Spirit teaches us. How many of you went through that scenario we've asked before where you read the Bible or heard about the Bible and you went, and then now as a believer or at a different season in your life, read through something and you went, that's my life verse, man. It's my life verse. How many of you have done that before? Where all of a sudden you read through the scriptures or somebody was preaching and something went, oh, and you had a deeper understanding of who the Lord was or how he moved or did that. That is the Holy Spirit at work, amen? Remember we talked about when we were talking about the scriptures, that is illumination. So what happens is the Holy Spirit inspires God's word to be put down. But as the word goes out, God also works through his Holy Spirit so we would understand what it says. Think about that. The scriptures, imagine trying to figure out the scriptures, any part of it, without God's presence showing it to you. There are ways that seem right to a man, but in the end, they lead to death. This is what I love about hardcore theological scholars, to study it in this verbatim wordage and in Da Vinci Code stuff, all of these different scholars, and in the end, they don't have an understanding of who he is. And someone will ask, well, how can someone spend their whole life dedicated to tearing the Bible apart and reading it and not be changed? Just because they don't have the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God reveals God's truth to us. Amen? And so when you read your word and God shows you something, you should be like, woohoo, Holy Spirit, right? That was a little girly. John 14, 26 says this, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. By the way, it is important for you to seek after God's presence when you study his word. For some of you who go in and you're dedicated prayer warriors in the morning, and you're going in after the Lord and you're reading your scriptures, it is really important for you to be aware of the Holy Spirit's presence and ask him to come. Amen? Because I can get all groggy-eyed just reading through the word, but I want my heart to be in it because I want to be open. Sometimes just praying like, God, I'm just here to read again, and I don't want to just show up and read again. I need your presence to come right now, Lord. Reveal to me the works and the glory of you in your word, and ask the Holy Spirit to come. Amen? So he teaches us. Here's another one. When the Holy Spirit is leading, supernatural things come out of us. That sounds kind of weird. I was just walking and this thing just went, right? So when the Holy Spirit is leading, supernatural things come out of us. And you know, Galatians 5, wedding verse. We preached on this. It's probably for about 5 months. We tore down, love is patient, love is kind. But if we go back to the scriptures in Galatians 5, 22 through 25, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now, let me go back to this. Maria, you ready? Let's do how many of these you got today? Ready? No, we'll do that. Rob is love. Rob is joy. Rob is peace. Rob is patience. Rob is kindness. Rob is goodness. Rob is faithfulness. And God knows Rob is gentle. And really, his best attribute is self-control. Anytime any of those things, I'm going to tell you, some of you might be more patient than others. Some of you have some of these things maybe kind of built in you, but I guarantee you don't have God-sized that on your own. I was married to my wife for years before I really even understood what love was, right? Like love was love. No wonder everybody gets divorced because you sack out. I woke up this morning and you disgusted me. You smelled, you had drool coming down your face. You ain't the woman I married before. Oh, let me say this. You ain't the man I married before. I got to do that. Of course, people say, I don't feel in love with you anymore. That's honestly, I got to be tender, but that's stupid. Love is not a feeling. Love is a byproduct. True love is a byproduct of the living God. The scriptures actually say that he is God. He's the definition of love. God is the definition of love. And so when I think about this, anything that comes out of me that resembles this, is anybody like any consumed when something like this actually comes out of you? Have you ever gone back and looked and went, I would have torn off Joe Bob's face, but I have patience, right? So when we're connected to the Lord, these are not, I love when people read these to people, like, yeah, are you all these things? Oh yeah, I got those. These are something that happens supernaturally. Amen? Like, I want to be a good person that loves people. I want to have peace. How many of you struggle with peace? I'm telling you, how are you going to peace yourself? Tell me, those of us who battle anxiety and with your busy, crazy schedules and work, how are you just going to go, okay, I'm not moving here until I got peace? You're gonna burst something, right? Something's gonna pop in a bad way. You're gonna have to go visit Dr. Nick or something. That's not good. Guys, when good things come out of us, man, it's the Holy Spirit. Amen? And by the way, some people say, what about Boy Scouts? They walk nice ladies across the street and stuff. Anybody can pull off good intentions based on morality. But true definition of real love and actions only come from the place of the Spirit of God. You hear me? God has built morality, a code of morality, into everybody. Everybody knows from the difference. I love who people say, like, my kids weren't born evil, they learned it. And then how come my 2-year-old will smack somebody, steal it, laugh, and run away? Right? There's something going on in her, right? There's evil in her. These good things that come out of us are truly only built by the Holy Spirit. Not that my precious little baby's ever done anything like that. I don't know why you're talking to all my kid. Henry Blackaby says this, will God ever ask you to do something you're not able to do? The answer is yes, all the time. it must be that way for God's glory and kingdom. If we function according to our ability alone, then we get the glory. If we function according to the power of the Holy Spirit within us, God gets the glory, and He wants to reveal Himself to a watching world. This is what I love about us trying to position ourselves as a church where the Holy Spirit has to take over, because people are watching you. You should be convicted by that. People are watching you. When I go into work in the morning and I don't feel like being there, I need to be careful. I need to be very careful that I don't, like, well, I'm just so ticked off of my kids. Da, da, da. People are watching. God is waiting to use you in supernatural ways so the people on the outside will be, wow, what is that? How many of you would tell your testimony to people that you knew you before, and then you would tell them later and they're like dumbfounded, right? Like, God wants to do supernatural things in you. Somebody say amen. But it's not on you. If God asked you to do things you could do, and this is why I like some of you who are getting called into ministry and things like that, or maybe you might be, or, oh, I don't know how to do that. I don't know if I can do that. Let me tell you, if you're going to sit down in a resume meeting with God, that's like the number one best characteristic. You should embrace that dog. I know you want me to do it, but I don't have a clue of what you want me to do. Because scripturally, that is the catalyst for God to do something amazing. How could 10 raggedy people go to Greece and see God's glory lifted up? Amen? Because you guys were the best missionaries on the face of the planet. I was the best missions team leader ever to exist. When I led, people wept as I walked down the street and led people well and yelled at people, hurry up! That was the Spirit of God running out of me. No, like, this is the part about broken vessels that you need to get. Here's the beautiful thing about broken vessels and why I like pastoring this church. People who understand that they're nobody on their own, they're nothing. I love that. I love when people say, man, I'm nothing. I don't have a lot of skills. I don't know what to do. I'm not an anointed, da-da-da-da-da. Perfect. Because that humility, you're not supposed to beat yourself up and talk trash on yourself, but that is the catalyst for God to come in and say, we're going to do something Holy Spirit-filled and supernatural in your life. I don't know what you think about me personally, but again, 17 years old, booze bottle, wanting to kill myself, Christmas Eve, watching some lame show, wanting to die or hurt somebody. The Holy Spirit wasn't done with me. I have 5 beautiful kids that love Jesus. They got their issues, but I'm not the dad. That's not because I'm a great dad. The only good thing that happens to me is because the Holy Spirit works in me. They're a gift to me. You understand what I'm saying? You want to be a great husband? Become a husband that is filled with the Holy Spirit. You want to become a good wife? Be a good wife because you're filled with God's presence and supernatural. Some of you are like, our marriage is too blown away. Yeah! Good! Maybe you could get over yourself, shut your pride down, and let God move in. And that's the point of this catalyst for some of you. Like, things are broken, and I'm so broken, I don't have stuff, and I've got these addiction things. Perfect! Stay there, and then let God in. Let Him do His thing. God wants to do supernatural things in your life. Well, I can't do it. Good! Of course you can't. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit, I can't do it anymore on my own. God says, all right. Why do you think He lets you hit bottom? Why does God let good things happen to good, or bad things happen to good people? Number one, there's no good people. Everybody's full of sin. But number two, you can't unpride yourself enough to get into His glory. Sometimes we have to be shaved down. So you say those exact things, I can't do this. And God says, perfect, come in. Come in. Somebody hear me today? Amen. Holy Spirit also wants to give us supernatural gifts. And this is something that we're going to get into a lot more. And I feel bad that we haven't. Whatever. It's something, listen, in different places in the Scriptures, and you know this, 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. Now there are a variety of gifts, everybody say gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them to everyone. Each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Everybody say each. Given. Manifestation. My French side came out, sorry. Manifestation. No, that's not good. Of the Spirit, say of the Spirit, for the common good. Let me tell you, this just said the Scriptures just said, God gives you a manifestation, it's a gift, the word is a gift. God gives you a spiritual gift for the good of who? For his glory, for his church. That's right. Let me keep moving. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, for it is for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. So there's this gift called wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. It's an understanding, being able to see in the Scriptures, understand. And to another, the utterance of knowledge. So discernment. Some of you have a lot of Spirit-led discernment where you understand, you could read people, and we'll talk about these at length later, but you have a discernment. I believe that that's one of my gifts, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith. So the Scriptures give faith. There's a gift of gift, not just faith, but there's another gift of faith that God bestows on some people. Enormous faith to be able to break and truck through things. To another, gifts of healing by one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy, to be able to speak the Word of God and words from God to people. People have prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as He wills. We are not going to tackle every single one of the gifts today, but just let me tell you this as a subset. All of you, the Scriptures say, every single one of you in this room, for the 11-year-old to the 70-year-old, every one of you has a gift given to you by God for the betterment and the building up of His church and for His people. It's not about you. It's not about your manifestation of gifts in the middle of a service. It doesn't have anything to do with that. And by the way, we at Restore Community Church are not cessationists. We are continuance people. We believe that all of God's gifts still exist. They all run, but they all have their place, time, and purpose for God's glory. Amen? Do I believe that all of them exist? Yes, I absolutely. Have I seen them operate? Yes. Have I seen godly tongues done? Yes. Have I seen interpretation? Yes. Have I seen really bad cases of tongues given? Yes. That's my answer for now. Stay tuned. Amen? But, like, and so in different parts of the Scripture says, like, you have a gift. Like, how many of you are even aware? How many of you feel like you know what your spiritual gifts are given by the Holy Spirit? Just raise your hand. Seriously, if you don't feel ashamed. Raise them high. Okay, good. Number one, awesome. Number two, for the rest of us, this is something you really need to become aware of. Because this gift, it's the thing where you do... Where you start trucking in and people are like, whoa, man. People start to see supernatural things popping out of your life. And so we're going to cover that, but you have a gift given you to God. And by the way, this means you don't have to sign up for any other ministry ever. Now let me just do the precursor. We are a church plant, and sometimes people need to serve outside of their gifting zone so we don't go to jail. Amen? Anyway, okay, we're going to keep moving. There's a lot of these. I just wanted you to get these. The Holy Spirit gives us power to witness. Everybody say witness. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When you share the gospel, who's working? When you share the gospel, who is in charge of saying really great words so people receive Jesus? Yeah, not you. And that verse is so common, but it's so misguided for a lot of us because we think that when we talk to people about Jesus, we're saving them. You're just a vessel. You're an important vessel, but you're a vessel. Amen? Another one, where the Holy Spirit is, there is freedom and transformation. 2 Corinthians 3:17 through 18. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Right? Right? And we all, with unveiled faces, behold the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree to the other, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So here's the deal. If the Holy Spirit is in you, freedom and transformation happen. Amen? Can I say that to you? When God walks into the room, we sing that song. When you walk into the room, right, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. What does that mean? Well, without the Spirit of the Lord, number one, you're not saved. And so, number one, there is freedom when the Spirit of the Lord is present inside of you. But when you're operating in the power of God's Spirit and God's will in His Spirit, freedom comes. Who gives you the freedom to walk away from addictions? Yeah, only the Holy Spirit working inside of you. Who gives you the power and the ability to forgive somebody? Purely on the Holy Spirit. Who gives you the power to preach sermons that people come to know Jesus and bring freedom to them? Only the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so here's the thing. Well, how come I don't feel like I'm free? And that's a great question. Why aren't you free? You have to receive it. You have to walk in it. Some of you, honestly, you have so much baggage like me, you need to go knock on the counselor's door or talk to a pastor and work through some of this baggage. There's like, see this little boy I was telling you about? Like, there's the freedom of Christ in me, and then there's this little boy who is literally anchored onto my intestines. I don't want to go! He doesn't want out of there. He's broken, and he's comfortable where he is, destroying my life. I have to make a constant choice. Either I'm going to live by the chains of this little boy, or I'm going to live in the freedom that comes through the Holy Spirit. But I have to decide in there who I'm following today. Who am I going to feel like? Broken little boy, empowered, freedom-given son of the living God. Like, there's a choice. Amen? Amen. And don't you talk bad on my little boy. He's still a good-looking dude. Okay, I want you to hear this one. Us two. The Holy Spirit is what we need instead of self-medicating. Ephesians 5, 15 through 21. Look carefully then on how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. That's what it says. Paul says the days are evil. Be careful, the days are evil, right? Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So there's a point. Number one, he says the days are evil. So be aware. Do not be drunk with wine. And so let me just help you. For some of you are like, man, I haven't drank wine in years. I just smoke crack. Let me just tell you. The point is drunkenness, debauchery, losing it. It is a sin. And so when we look at that, we're like, well, what are you preaching to me for? I get it, right? It can be Twinkies. I'm not kidding. It can be food. It can be, you know what I mean? Coming into this place, whatever it is, a drunkenness, you know, this debauchery thing, he's saying instead of that, be full of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Ever, how many of you would agree the days are evil? Let me just say this. One big megachurch pastor a couple months ago, Perry Noble, whatever his name is, he gets fired from his church because he's got 15 to 20,000 people coming to his church, but he's an at-home drunk. He's like boozing up every night. Why? Because he couldn't take it anymore. He snapped. Like he couldn't. He was a drunk before, and then all of a sudden pressure got to him. So I believe there's a catalyst to why these things are connected. My question is, in my flesh, how can you look at the world, look at our political situation, and not be drunk? Is anybody here with me? I don't know if I'm going to get pastor marks for this. What I'm saying is, of course you're self-medicating. Of course people are self-medicating. Women who were sexually abused so horribly when they were children that everything was broken in their lives, what are they supposed to do without him? How do you process that? Someone you love damaging you like that and your family abandoning you and just completely breaking your world and going to jail and being jacked up in your family. How do you not survive without medicating yourself? Like, I don't blame them. I understand it. But the apostle's saying, listen, the days are evil, but don't do that. Be full of the Holy Spirit. And this isn't a verse about any Pentecost theology. This is called being filled with the Holy Spirit. This is, and look at the rest of the verse. It has to do with joy. You hear what I'm saying? Be filled with the Holy Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all of your heart. Why? Why should we be full of that? Because that's the only way to get through this thing. The Holy Spirit is God's presence. He's peace. He's joy. He's hope. And if you don't grab onto that and medicate, then you're going to grab something else eventually and medicate yourself. I don't care. There are a lot of these men who fell into sin and pastors and business leaders, all these guys, they didn't start off as evil, whoremongering men or women. They started off and they got too busy. They got the brokenness of the world. Their marriage wasn't good. And they fell because they needed something to make them feel again. The apostle says, stop. Be full of the Holy Spirit. Be full of my joy. And by the way, my brothers and sisters, that is a choice. Amen? Some of you, let me just say this, some of you are on the slope of those things. Can I beg you, please stop. Confess to somebody. Get somebody in to remind you of God's joy. Maybe you're not on the verge of an affair. Maybe you're just continue to self-medicate yourself. Maybe you're taking too many pills. Maybe you're just self-medicating with just doubt, worry, whatever it is. That doesn't fall in line with that, but it happens. Stop. And by the way, if he said you should do it, does that mean it's possible? Yeah. Miserable people can actually be filled with the Holy Spirit and say no to the flesh. Amen? My last point for today, and then we'll do 25 application points. The Holy Spirit, and it's a shame, by the way, to teach this in 1 week, and so this is why I'm... But the Holy Spirit gives us a taste of what's to come. Romans 8, 18 through 25. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us. That's what the Apostle Paul just said. The sufferings in this present time, they're not even worth comparing the glory that's been revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope. The creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. Not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption of sons, the redemption of our bodies. And so I love that because we live in this thing called the already not yet kingdom. Everybody say that, already not yet kingdom. So we have a lot of fulfillment of God's promises in the Holy Spirit. So the kingdom of heaven is here. Amen. God is with us. There is freedom and redemption. But I'm telling you, it's only a part of what's coming. The Holy Spirit, the scriptures say, we have the first fruits of what is coming in the Holy Spirit. You hear me? So that means what you have, all of these glorious things that brings us from the Holy Spirit, joy, peace, and patience, all of those things, supernatural gifts, the presence of God, the freedom from addictions, all of these things, those things are amazing, but they're not it. I love people who say, well, I'm not ready to leave yet. I love this life too much. Some of us are not like that. I trust the guy that's like, oh, I don't want to go through another day. Jesus, come, but I'll do whatever you want me to do. Like, I am longing. You have no idea, but the Holy Spirit is in you. It's like a reflection of heaven. It's like a reflection of what is coming. Someday you will stand in the presence of the Almighty, and you won't know anything but supernatural. You won't know it. You won't know what brokenness and freedom is going to wipe every tear away from your eye. All of that is done. And if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, that is a foretaste of what God is going to do and what he's going to move in our lives. Amen? How many of you like daydream about heaven? Does anybody do that? Maybe I'm confessing what I do in my office all day long. And nap. So on the flip side of this, I just wrote down these four things I want you to hear of why. What should we do with the Holy Spirit? That's a good question. Number one, be aware of him. If you're sitting here this morning going, I don't think about these things, or I've never heard that before. Perfect. Be aware that you are the dwelling place of God. When you pray in the morning, get up and say, God, I've never thought about this. I didn't really understand that you lived inside of me. Or some of you have been believers for a long time. Lord, I've been operating on my own strength. I have not been aware. See, you're not supposed to bring change to your life. He does, but you need to be aware of the change agent. Amen? Number two, open our lives to him and follow. I love this. I heard Charles Stanley preach on this one time. The best thing you can do with the Holy Spirit is the little things. When God prompts you in little things, do it. When you feel God tweaking, something inside of you, you know that thing when you're walking by someone and all of a sudden you hear this, hey, go do that. And you're like, and you're trying to ignore it. You wait for the third or fourth time. I ain't doing nothing. God's like, go back. I promise you, it's like a muscle. The more you respond to the little things the Holy Spirit pushes you in, the little things, you know, go kiss your wife, send her a letter, go hug your kids, go back to that guy and say something, or you know what I mean? when you follow through in the promptings and the little things, God will open up the doors to bigger things and you will be ready. Amen? It is possible. Look at this. It is possible to live your day walking through the day, every room you go into, every place you go into, with an awareness saying, Lord, lead me. Every meeting I go into, I learned a long time ago, this is my prayer on the way to the meeting, especially bad ones. God, show up. Whatever you say, I'll do. Just tell me something because I don't know what to say. And he does. Amen? Be faithful in the little things. Everybody say little things. And the big things. And number three, discover and operate in your gifts. Man, I'm telling you, when you operate in your gifts, your life changes. When you do what you are made to do, it gives you a sense of fulfillment. I remember as a young man, I was so always trying to find my thing. Some of you, I would quit jobs. I would move up the ladder. I'd get angry. I'd shift from house to house. I was never happy because I was always thinking, what am I here to do? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to be? And I want to tell you, it's not so much as a position, but it's a thing. There is a thing that God has given you to operate in life. What is it? You should know what it is, because when you're banging in that, when that's your life, when you're working in faith or you're working in prophecy or all of these things, discernment, you are banging on all cylinders that God wanted you to do. Are you chasing after it? Are you praying it? There are books. We're going to go through this stuff together. What is God equipped you with? Amen? And some of you who say, well, I don't know, God can't really use me. And the last one, we need to follow and submit to him completely as the church. This is my deepest desire. This is my last point, I promise, is we want God to be here. We don't want any service. We don't want any life group. We don't want any time of prayer. We don't want any worship time. We don't want any of it that we as the church are not begging God to show up. You know how we're going to make it to the nations? You know what Muslims are waiting to see on the other side of the pond, so to speak? They're waiting to see the presence and the glory of God show up. Like, that's what we want. And that should be if you're a dad leading your home, that should be one of your biggest prayers and concerns. We want to be a Holy Spirit-filled house that listens together what God wants. And as a church, as our leadership, as we pray, there's this great text in the New Testament where some of the apostles are out preaching and some of the old boys are getting around trying to get them in trouble, and they're like, man, I don't know, but you could tell these are simple and plain men, but you can tell that they had been with Jesus. Like, that's what we want. We want the power and the presence of God to be here in our church. We want it to be, and by the way, the church is you. And so when you leave here, you being filled with the Holy Spirit is the best thing for the neighborhood, your family, and the nations. Amen? Amen. All right, you guys ready for part two? We're going to close, but I just want to invite you today to, if you need prayer this morning, we want to pray for you. We want to pray for you by, this is the cool thing about this ministry time. At the end, we've been calling it that, and I know some of us don't come from necessarily traditions that, what I'm trying to say is we want the Holy Spirit to show up right now. What is the Holy Spirit saying and doing in you at this very moment? And what I want you to do is don't walk away from that. Don't leave that. As we worship and as we focus on the Lord, whatever God prompts you to do, if you need to go and confess, if you need to get on your knees, if you need to dance around like a bubbling idiot because you love Jesus, whatever it is, whatever God prompts you to do, we want God to show up. Like right now, I know God is tweaking something in people's hearts, and he's saying, you've been living unaware of me in your heart. It is time to experience who I am fully. Some of you have sin, and God is convicting you, saying, hey, you need to be drunk on me, not on that stuff. Some of you need to confess slippery slopes that you're in the middle of. Some of you just need to re-up with the Lord and say, God, I just haven't been aware, and I need you. I need your spirit to come back in and lead. And by the way, he hasn't gone anywhere. You know the thing I don't like about God? He doesn't make you do anything. I wish he would just come and say, shut up, Rob, sit down. But you need to be aware and invite the Lord to come and lead your life. Amen. So stand up with me, let's pray, and let's just end the season with worship. Season.
Lord, I pray that you would work in the hearts of men and women who have been quenching you. keeping you down in fear of what might happen if they let go. Lord, I pray for those of us who are in deep sin and separated from the depth and the springs of the Holy Spirit joy in our life. Lord, I pray for a time of confession. God, I pray over men and women and broken marriages, Lord Jesus, that are about ready to quit. And that to that I say, Holy God, inject yourself and may they be humbled enough to follow you finally. And the Holy Spirit, I also pray, everything and anything you're doing in this room, God, come and have your way in us. But God, don't leave us. Be here and show yourself in a big way. God, fill this church with your fire. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.